near future, the U.S. prison system reaches a breaking point. Private corporations take over all federal correctional facilities. They are now run for profit.
I got a thumb. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 318, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian F. Off Goldberg Dunaway.
Oh, hi. Look, I got a lot of time on my hands here, so I started a little prison project, or as I call it, Whitey's toothpick. It's just an ordinary prison-issued toothbrush that kind of looks like I've been using to clean my butthole. On this end, I sharpened it to a pointy shiv that I can use to chase Whitey's. Mm-hmm. On the other end, I vice gingivitis. See? What the K? Oh, here comes Whitey now. Hey, Whitey, come here for a second. Don't you run from me. Rice death.
Whitey.
Don't you get those ends confused?
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
Right?
No kidding. You might need to label them. Also with us, Randy, I like to have all my meetings in a shower with a naked bald dude, Jordan.
I do. Aloha.
Hi.
Scott, Brian, hi.
Hi.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I worked in a prison live video production office?
No.
What? Why are there so many prison movies? I'll tell you why. Prisons are great. Everyone inside is super photogenic, and they're always looking toward the cameras. And you can put up so many cameras. You know how a live broadcast crew for a major sports game has to keep track of like 8 to 10 cameras? In a prison, we can have hundreds of cameras. And before I forget, women who are in prison are 100% former underwear models who are always camera ready. The only thing bigger in a prison than the TV production room is the women's makeup room. It takes up like 70% of the whole prison. You know, if your ratings are good. I'm going too long. Why am I being dragged off right now? You can't fire me. Okay, I'm in a bar.
Yeah, you are in a bar. Also with us, and finally, Brian, you get a flamethrower, and you get a flamethrower, Ibbot.
Look under your chair. So in the original uncut version of Death Race 2, they took the racial stereotypes even further beyond Apache, 14K, Hillbilly, and the Sheik. The director's cut has 16 cars. The other seven were as follows. A car driven by a Canadian named Mountie, another driven by a Mexican named Chimichanga, a Colombian named Cucaracha, an Englishman named Scone, an Australian driver named Didgeridoo, an Irish driver named Lucky Charms, and a driver from California named Chad, who causes a two-hour traffic jam after spilling his wheatgrass shake on the floor of his Prius.
Come on, Chad.
Oh, Chad, you bastard.
Chad.
Also, I really want to play with that Lucky Charms guy. He sounds great. Yeah. Hey, you're gonna
lose the race to me again, me boy.
Yarr. See when he throws a blue shell. It's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You know what's weird about bad naming?
Mm.
You can't go to someone who's never named things and get bad names. You have to go to a pro, someone who's named a lot of characters, and then you get those bad names.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad names come from professional bad namers.
like taking your actor name Luke Goss and coming up with a name Lucas.
Yeah, Lucas.
Lucas. Yeah.
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 It's pretty hard stuff. He does a pretty good American accent, although sometimes it would leak out and be weird. But let's get him out of the way real quick. He is your poor man's Jason Statham.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. This is the follow up to Death Race 1, which was Jason Statham, right?
Yeah. 2008, 2008's Jason Statham with a much bigger, I shouldn't say bigger, a much better cast of actors.
Much bigger budget.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this one
is Frankenstein, but Statham wasn't Frankenstein. I mean, he's not playing the same character. It's a different
dude, right?
Frankenstein's in Death Race.
Yeah,
because this is a prequel. Let's get that out of the way.
This is supposed
to
be a prequel. Now, we've seen three Death Race movies. We've seen 2000, which is the old
one from the 70s.
70s one that had Sly Stallone was part of it.
Oh, yeah.
if you remember, if you recall. Then we've seen the 2008 one with Statham and Swearingen.
You say that, but I would like you to prove that we've seen the 2008 one with Jason Statham.
I thought we'd seen that.
I don't remember seeing it.
Have we not seen that?
That's the thing. I had this exact same experience, Scott. So you and I are in the same place. I start watching this movie and I'm like, oh, wow, boy, we're finally seeing our third film in this series. Nope. I have looked and looked through the Film Sack archives. We have only watched Death Race 2000, the old one, about crossing the country in cars.
Cannonball Run with guns.
You are absolutely correct. I don't know why I felt like we'd... I know I've talked about this.
It just feels like we've seen this movie a bunch of times. There's reason.
Now, the thing is...
I think Scott and I may have watched the Jason Statham movie like when it came out or something.
Maybe.
And I think he and I even talked about it on some podcast.
Right. It's because
I have these memories that I don't know what to do with otherwise.
It's even a Paul W.S. Anderson written and directed movie.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways it's a template for this one. Like there's a bald English guy playing the lead, although he stayed English in the 08 one and changed his accent in this one. There's a dude who's in the mechanic turns out to be a nice guy that wants to help you win. In the first one, it was Al Swearingen.
Ian McShane.
Ian McShane, which is a huge step up for actors as your choices there. And then this one's got, Danny Trejo, I love Danny Trejo. Don't get me wrong, but whatever. He's not quite your Ian McShane.
In the first one, you have Tyrese. This one has Ving Rhames. It's just like every little thing. The first one has Joan Allen. This one has Lauren Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny how they have to do sort of the retcon during this movie. Like, they even do it so poorly to say, well, she's probably going to take credit for inventing this, and no one's ever going to question her about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's going
to
say
a word. Totally set it up to say, hand-wavy, we know we changed female leads, and this is how we explain it.
Yeah, and here's a photo of her to say that she's coming up in this movie. If I were her, I'd be pissed that she was in this direct-to-DVD thing. That's really...
She had to get just for having her likeness on film, she had to get paid for this movie.
Probably, right? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah.
So
for sure.
So I should go on record now and say I like the 2008 thing. I think it's all right. It's not
too.
A great film by any means, but it's a fun, stupid, Armageddon level thing for me. Not to dig up old dirt and have
Oh, come on now. Not Armageddon level.
I'm going to say I have as much fun with that as I do Armageddon. I am going to say that. When's the last time you guys have seen the 08 one, though? Have you seen it at all?
I've never seen it.
Oh, actually, no, I've never seen it either. Again, I thought that we watched it for this. I saw Transporter. Isn't that the same thing?
Not quite.
Transporter's better.
I just want to say that by every measurement, every metric, the 08 thing's better than this 2010 thing.
I'll give you every metric except one that I just invented.
All right.
This movie has a better lists, and it's the same actor, but the character, they decided to expand this character, and I really enjoyed this guy, the guy that plays lists, the guy, the character in the film and everything, like when he accidentally gets, not accidentally, when he purposely gets thrown into the ring of death, I was so happy because I thought for a moment that this movie was going to trope me right. And he was going to nerd his way out and somehow win against insurmountable odds.
Mm-hmm. He can't die because he's in the 2018 Death Race Anarchy.
Oh,
which
he's in all of them.
Post-production. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's my one made-up metric is that Lists gets his due in this movie, and I enjoyed it.
Can we petition? Go ahead. Go ahead.
I would say, can we petition, by the way, Netflix, that if they are going to put Death Race 2 available for streaming, anytime they put a movie up for streaming, it should be a rule that they put up all of the sequels and prequels and whatnot.
Right.
It's not cool to put up Transporter 2 and not put up Transporter 1 and Transporter 3.
And we should label it just like that. Netflix, that ain't cool.
Exactly. Come on, Netflix. Give us the whole story.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
I'm gonna agree with you. You start that survey.
I will.
Petition, and I will sign it. I'll be the first person to sign it.
Yeah, because it isn't. It would have been nice for us to follow Death Race 2 up with seeing Death Race maybe in a couple weeks, but it's not on there. Especially since all three-fourths of us thought we saw it already.
Yeah. Well, for this, I really did think for this show we'd seen it. That's really, this is the first time I felt that strongly that we'd seen it. I know we've had these moments on the show before, but I was sure we'd seen Death Race 1.
I'm sure you and I talked about it.
Yeah.
Like on something.
I think so, too. There was some conversation about it, and I don't know where it ended or where it went, but I want to put out a positive vibe for the idea of the Death Race movies. The idea of the Death Race movies is kind of cool. It's this idea that you're privatizing the prison system for profit is kind of a unique, interesting idea. And I like the idea of how would you exploit that and why would that go bad? Or is it all bad? Or is there a way to do it? And where's the moral line for how you treat your prisoners, despite the fact that they're, you know, society's worst? What's the, you know,
is there any way it couldn't go bad?
Right. Exactly. And I just conceptually I'm into it, but I feel like they don't ever quite meet that. Like they don't do it in the one I like in 08 either. They don't quite meet the level of what the potential is. So it's kind of frustrating in that way because I feel like it's a fun genre. Now, clearly somebody likes these because they've been making sequels and new ones, and there's a new one in the works that shows in 2018, I assume direct-to-video as well. So somebody's buying this shit. Like, are these like the... I mean, what is this like my wife or their Hallmark Channel stuff? There's just some audience out there that's like, oh, I cannot wait for another Death Race movie.
It's us. It is it's us.
Yeah. And they're standing in front of a red box right now, and this is one of like eight things, and they've seen five of them. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how it works.
This is pretty darn good for a direct-to-video. I gotta say, I mean, if you put it in its place. It's not bad for straight-to-video.
It's not a great film, but I will say I had a really good time watching it. Yeah, I mean, it is every single prison racing gun and fighting trope ever, it's...
And video games. I mean, such a crossover.
Yeah, lots of games.
Big business and big, big media. Every possible trope.
Yeah.
But Brian, didn't you get a bit of a weird sense that we've just recently watched The Longest Yard and The Rock?
True story.
And like, I don't know. There's just something like that felt like, gosh, we're in a rut.
Just can't get out of prison. We are,
Not to mention the fact that right before we watched Death Race 2, we watched Hell or High Water last night, which doesn't feature any prison, but features two guys who were in prison, or one guy who was in prison.
Yeah.
And and it's funny, it's like Tina says, man, is this like, are we watching every prison movie or every ex-con movie we can get our hands on recently?
Yeah, even last night, two in a row like that. That movie's great though, right? Right? Was I right?
It's fantastic. Oh, really good.
This is good.
This is the first time I've watched a direct-to-video movie in a while. And, we watch very few here on FilmSack. And it's funny the quality of Wikipedia entry you get versus a direct, because there's all kinds of typos and there's plots the plot that's not even right. I'm like, that's not even what happened in the movie.
Really weird.
Yeah.
Well, I just feel like they had an opportunity with these movies to do something cool. There's this like crossover point that the Fast and the Furious made. Where they were kind of like this too. They were kind of shitty, but they were okay. But they really deserved after the second one or so to head straight to video. That should have been the rest of their life. And they would have made like 10 of these straight to video. And there would be all these new third tier actors playing the people, just like you see here. But there's some like weird threshold that the Fast and Furious overcame and that this series just can't. And I don't know what that is. It's some undefinable thing. But if you think about it, I mean, really, the Fast and the Furious movies, they don't deserve to be where they are, except they are.
Wider market appeal.
I guess.
It's the car porn crowd.
Yeah.
And they have inertia for a reason, right? Like if they were bad enough, they would have been fizzling, right?
Right. Right. No, you're totally right. Like it's not that they're objectively better produced, better acted, better made movies. But I remember when we watched two here on the show, which I think is the only one we watched. It struck me that okay, that looks like about the end of your rope. I think you're about down there, and somehow they pulled it out. So I just think with the right people, money, and whatever, you could have seen Death Race become something that was like this Jason Statham vehicle that carried on for years and that everybody looked Sharp forward points. To, and it was like his franchise. I think that could have been his transporter or whatever.
If Sean Bean hadn't have met his spoiler untimely demise, he could have been the thread.
Is it ever a spoiler to say that Sean Bean dies?
No, it never is. You can say, hey, Sean Bean's in every movie he's ever going to be in, he'll die in, except for in The Martian, I guess. He lived in that.
Right.
But, he's my favorite part of this movie, by the way. I just want to get that out of the way.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's odd. After I got through, about halfway through this, I was kind of having trouble understanding Sean Bean. He was really... I don't know what he was doing, but I was
laying it on thick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, right. And so I had to turn
the accent.
I had to turn on the closed caption. And as I was watching it, I was like, it was really kind of a bold move for Death Race 2 casting to not put Sean Bean as the Waylon character, which would be so obvious, and put the Ven Rhames, you know, beefier, swap bulkier. Yeah. As the guy who is really running the, you know, the show over there on the other side. Yeah.
Right.
But they went this route. So it kind of makes the movie interesting.
So the first movie, right? So you can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
By the way, I have to corroborate with Dunaway. I just glanced over at the Wikipedia page for Death Race 2. Dunaway's not wrong. I mean, the fact that for every character, not only do they list who the actor plays, they also say his Luke Goss is Carl Luke Lucas, or Frankenstein. His height is 6'1", or 185 centimeters. He's 182 pounds, or 82 kilograms.
What the heck?
Wow.
Give us all the metrics.
Down,
that's crazy.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, no kidding. Go home, you're drunk. That's insane. So Paul W.S. Anderson is still credited as a writer here, although he did not write the script. He's just in charge of characters and original story, which is what he did in 08. And directed by Roel Renee.
Roel, maybe?
Yeah. And this is his job. This is his whole job, by the way, in Hollywood, is to make direct-to-DVD sequels to things you didn't think needed a sequel.
Right. That, I'm interested in this delivery. Sure. That kind of looks interesting.
Delivery. I haven't heard of that. What's that?
Yeah, the delivery is 1999. I don't know what that is, but
something he made.
Dead Again and Tombstone. Everything he does, I want to see.
Well, look at these. He did the Hard Target 2 direct video movie. I didn't even know that existed. That's not even Van Damme.
Either.
It's not even Van Damme.
We've seen Hard Target.
Right.
The Condemned 2.
SEAL Team 8. Man, it was like 7 movies before he got his.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Scorpion King 3.
Yeah. What? Battle for Redemption, straight to video.
Rock wasn't in that one, was he?
No, hell no. He was absolutely not into that. The Marine 2. Oh,
Victor Webster is the title of the
movie. Speaking of Scorpion King 3, have we all now seen the trailer for the new Mummy coming up?
Yeah, yes. The Universal reboot.
Still disappointed that Brendan Fraser is not back.
Well, they're not.
Did you see the accidental one they released, by the way, that left out a lot of the backing music and other sound effects, and all you hear is Tom Cruise screaming?
No.
No,
this is a real thing. It's not like some fan made, like, you know, isolating it out. They accidentally released a version of the trailer on YouTube.
That's
on their
amazing
official channel.
Right.
They quickly pulled it, but not before somebody else grabbed it. And it's the trailer for the new Mummy film, and it's just Tom Cruise.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened more, because YouTube's got such a strict automated system for watching for music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I'm surprised it hasn't happened more often.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, the studio has to leak it for it to be
right.
And if the studio does it on their accounts, those are verified, so they can get away with whatever music is being used. So I don't think YouTube even checks those channels. They'll just play whatever. But that's awesome. I need to check it out. Here's my take on that, by the way.
Link in our Skype.
Link it.
Everybody else can Google it.
So a lot of people, this thing's just called Mummy, I believe.
Right.
And this is, a lot of people are like, oh, they're redoing the Brendan. This is not a Brendan Fraser reboot. This is a, which was more of a, you know, swashbuckling Indiana Jones kind of humor laced adventure tale. That's not what this is, and this is just the first of many. This is Universal's attempt to take all the old Universal monsters, Frankenstein, Mummy, Dracula, all that stuff, and bring it back.
Invisible Man. Yeah,
they want to reboot all that old golden age of Hollywood stuff.
They want to de-sparkle Dracula.
Yeah, and this one looks like they're going full serious. There's no There's no humorous, Indiana Jones type deal.
No,
but, right. But if you start with Tom Cruise in an airplane, I'm thinking of a different series. Mm-hmm. I can't
that
help
also
myself.
With them.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, okay. So a new Tom Cruise thing. What?
Yeah.
There's a no.
Yeah.
I no. Stop.
I'm all right with wrong. It as long as he runs. I'm fine. As long as he's running.
And he runs in the trailer.
Although the mummy is pretty slow, so he just briskly walks.
He runs for like 20 feet and goes, what am I doing?
Yeah. This one made my kids laugh because we were watching the trailer on the TV and they were like, ooh, what's this? I said, yeah, it's this new mummy thing and it's playing. And there's a big moment where the mummy, who's a female mummy and she's super natural and stuff.
Right.
And there's like a point where she's like raising her arms and causing a bunch of mayhem and the camera zooms into her face and her pupils split into two. So now she's got four pupils, just two eyes, four pupils. And I go, you guys, she has four pupils now. And my kids think I'm the most annoying father ever.
you're pretty bad. But I mean, that was a great little thing to put in a trailer. It was like, I'll give them credit for that.
Yeah.
But what good does that do?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It feels like you're not going to have better vision. You're just going to
be. Ooh, I can see better now.
I can read the text on that sign down the road. This is great.
No, I don't have to squint to read that.
This is the best.
It was just, I don't know. I like, I was all settled in to watch Rogue One. I think it was in front of, and it just like, what is this? How can it be like, I've never had an experience like that where at the very end of the trailer, I was like, no, this is all wrong.
Yeah.
I don't trust any trailers anymore after Rogue One trailers.
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
Because he hates Rogue One.
Half the stuff that was in the movie, you know, in the trailer.
Oh, like I'm a rebel. I rebel. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I'm just saying I don't trust the video footage in a trailer to be in the movie.
Well, okay. So this is a special case, though. So what we know about that movie is a ton of stuff was gone back and redone. So we don't know what they haven't said. We don't know what story stuff switched
or
whatever.
They've said some of it.
They've said some, but very little. Right. Like they have been very open about the fact that the footage, for the most part, that they showed in those trailers being totally different than the end product is a result of those reshoots. So that's a kind of a weird case. But yeah, it's still, I think Brent Dunaway has a point. Like trailers are sometimes bullshit. Like when she's running out on the scaffolding and there's a TIE fighter there.
Which I was waiting for the whole time.
That turned out to be an effects test shot that was never intended for the film, but they used it for the trailer anyway. So you're not wrong to feel that way, I think.
Right.
And I feel so smart for having not watched the trailers. Like that was one of the
quantify your intelligence. It's like, I feel so smart. Look at me.
Well, you have to if you're gonna be a movie nerd in 2017, you need to like pat yourself on the back all the goddamn time.
I like it.
So I saw that first one, the one you're talking about, and then I didn't watch anything else at all. I didn't read anything, I didn't know anything about Rogue One going in. And I think for the big movies, the biggest movies every year, that is now the way to do it. I did the same for Episode 7. I really enjoyed not knowing or having all of this like table set, you know, for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think
that's what it used to be. I mean, before the internet, you'd hear about a movie, you'd see a trailer that would be pretty vague. And then you'd go and you'd have no idea until you saw the movie. And then that issue of Fangoria came out that told you all the behind the scenes stuff. Now you get all that. You can get all that stuff beforehand. I feel like it does kind of ruin the movie a little bit. So I'm with you, Randy. I do the same thing. I avoided just about everything Rogue One, except for the initial trailer.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to do like a pact, kind of like a Master of Our Domain kind of pact where we, you know, abstain from
I certainly don't need other
from
people
trailers.
To you know to do the to pull this off I don't need other people doing this. However, it was really weird to me, and so maybe you don't want to do this, because after I saw Rogue One, I went right to the internet. Okay, now I'm gonna read all the stuff everybody's saying. And the first thing I read blew me away, because I had spent the entire movie thinking, wow, they really found an actor that looks a lot like the original General Tarkin. Like, a lot. No. Like, this guy is amazing. They must have combed all of England to find this old man who looks exactly like this other actor did 40 years ago. This is incredible. And then I get online and I'm like, oh no, it's fake. Well, damn. I don't know what to think, because I really enjoyed. I mean, I knew that Princess Leia at the end was fake, but I had no idea that Tarkin was some kind of...
Let's just take a quick poll. I knew nothing about a Tarkin. I did the same thing. I abstained much from all the spoilers. I didn't even know Tarkin was going to be in the movie. The first,
we saw in the trailer, we see him standing in front of the bridge, like the outline of him standing on the bridge of the Death Star, looking out.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. Like I said, I avoided all that stuff. And the first 30 seconds of Tarkin, I was like, wow, that's where'd they get that footage? And then I was like, and then something happened and I was like, okay, that's digital. Were you guys able to spot?
I went full Uncanny Valley immediately, but I, unlike many people, liked it. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought, oh, this is great. We get Tarkin back, even though he's dead. My daughter turns to me and says, how old is he? Because he looks so young still. She had the same reaction. She thought Mon Mothra, who was Mothra in episode 3, but she looked so much like the original Mon Mothra, she was sure that that was still that lady, and she couldn't understand what her beauty secrets were. Yeah.
Please, let's call her Mon Mothra from now on.
Or what is it? Yeah. It's not Mon Mothra. Mothma. I keep Mon Mothra. Yeah.
That's all right.
I was the same way. I knew instantly it was CGI for Tarkin, but I had no problem with it. I thought they did a great job with it. And Tina was my Carter. She's like, you know, I said, what'd you think of, the CGI? She's like, oh my God. Yeah. Princess Leia looked really amazing. I said, was that the only CGI character you noticed? She's like, you know, other than aliens and stuff, obviously. Right. Yeah. And I said, no, Tarkin was CGI as well, 'cause that guy is dead.
That guy's
15
dead.
Years, long 20
dead.
Years.
Yeah, longer than that, even. He's been dead since 70. He died before the 80s happened, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, died right after Star Wars came out, I think.
Jeez.
Yeah.
The thing is, all I'm really doing is information shifting, you know, because I'm waiting until I've seen
away
the movie.
From Death Race 2?
You think they'll bring Sean Bean back for Death Race 3? Like, Digi Bean,
CGI Bean.
Well, it's out. You could find out for yourself if you want to track that movie down. Luke Goss is back, so he's in it again.
Of course he is.
Let's really talk Let's really talk quickly about
Bigly.
A little bit more about Luke Goss, Bigly.
Yeah,
because Luke Goss is not just an actor, but he was half of a British boy band that has a name that I think Scott you'd love, called Bros.
No way.
Did not know
yes,
that.
Him and his twin brother Matt Goss, who is a staple in Las Vegas, had a residency in a while for at the Palms Casino, in what they called the Gossy Room.
And you know what bothers me about this so much?
What?
Everything?
Everything.
Well, everything. But also, just talking shop a little bit, like the number 2 designer on all of World of Warcraft is also named Matt Goss.
Wow.
Oh, really?
And this drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I really, really like Matt Goss, the Blizzard World of Warcraft developer. And
it's not as bad as that poor guy in Office Space whose name is Michael Bolton, though.
Michael Bolton. Yeah, that's true. That's really true.
People have heard of Michael Bolton.
Yeah. Luke Look
Goss
at these pictures.
Is prolific.
Look at these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, he is. He will take any job.
What year? Brian, what era are we talking here? When were these guys? 90s, 80s? What was this?
90s.
Okay.
90s.
All right. Looks like early 90s for sure. That's fascinating.
Robbie Williams and Take That and all that stuff. Yeah.
One of them has hair now. One of them, and Luke is hairless. The brother has decided to either fake it or has some hair. So.
Right. And Matt is the one who's kind of like, he's the kind of the Michael Bublé crooner. Dude in Vegas, and you can still see him. I think he's in at Caesars now.
Okay.
Is anybody else uncomfortable when twins get like extra close to each other and like they can put their arms and legs over top of each other? Is that
a little bit? Yeah.
Is that uncomfortable to me?
Is anybody else uncomfortable that Michael Bublé never changed his last name to something good?
Something better than Bublé? Yeah. You know what? He's a talented as hell. Thing? We were listening to him yesterday, funny enough. And you listen, you go, man, that guy deserves the praise. He's really good. And he brings croonership back in a way that I think is deserved. And he deserves all the credit he gets. But then you look at that name. I just can't bring myself to even hardly say it.
Yeah.
Bublé.
I like it.
Yeah. It sucks.
No, I hate that.
You,
name
Brian,
so much.
You like it because it sucks. Like it. That's why you like it, though.
Maybe so. Brian likes things that suck. Okay.
Is he French? What is Buble?
He's Canadian. Buble.
Well, that's a Canadian. That's a Canadian. Oh, he is Canadian. That's a Canadian name. Buble. Well, I guess it could be French Canadian.
French Canadian.
Right?
Yeah.
French Canadian.
Quebec.
He's got a little accent over the E.
Buble. Oh, speaking of French people, I know this is kind of off topic, but Humble Bundle, have you guys watched that video on Humble Bundle?
No.
I can't even say it now.
No.
And there's a French guy, and they're doing the Assassin's Creed this week, and there's a video, and you got to watch this guy say Humble Bundle in French.
No.
Humble Bundle.
It is awesome.
It's on
you can't understand anything he's saying, and then all of a sudden he'll just bust into Humble Bundle.
What's the name of the, is it just this week's or what? Oh, the Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, hold on a second. I'll send you the video.
Yeah, yeah. We'll play. Oh, here it is. Is this black guy here, right? This guy?
Yes.
Okay. Here, I found it. I'll play it. I just want to hear him say it. All right. It's a lot of, okay.
Salut à tous. C'est là pour vous parler du MLML.
Wow.
That's great. That's super great.
Wow.
One more time.
All right, let me back it up. All right.
Salut à tous, je suis là pour vous parler du MLML.
I thought one of you was talking.
I thought so too.
And making a joke.
I thought so too. That did not sound like the actual
That was great. Take that, France. That was amazing.
Wow.
All right.
Thank you, Buble, for getting us there. I don't know how you did it, but you did it.
So, Sean Bean, real quick. This is right before his Ned Stark role. This is right before Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like a minute before Game of Thrones.
Yep. And this is also a minute, about a year for her, but a minute before Walking Dead starts. And about a year later, Maggie would join the cast. Yeah. She's obnoxious as shit in this. I like her a lot, but man, she is a brat. Now, maybe that's because she, played the role well or whatever, but.
Sure.
Yeah, she's something else. Anyway,
is she ever going to get a role where she can use her British accent though? Because
I hope so, because I like her British accent a lot.
I do too.
Yeah, her interviews, I'm just like, oh, Hubba Bubba, she's awesome.
Exactly,
Humble Bundle. I'll say Humble Bundle.
Now, are we talking about
Humble?
Are we talking about Tanit Phoenix?
No. Taint, Lauren Cohen.
Taint.
Oh, Lauren Cohen.
Taint, okay. Phoenix. Not Taint, Taint Phoenix. Phoenix. Yeah. All that's right. A hot Phoenix right there. A hot Taint is what that stands for. No, not her. She's married. I did a little looking around on her. The one that's the prison inmate girl who's obnoxiously attractive for a prison inmate. Mm-hmm.
That's who you get when you can't get Terry Hatcher, by the way.
Exactly. I believe she's South African, and she is currently married to that Iktar Flakdar Copley guy, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Copley.
Charito Copley.
Yeah.
Charlotto.
So they're a couple, and they seem very nice together.
The District 9 guy.
Yeah, yes. District 9 man.
What? Why is it so hard to say his name?
I don't know.
No, it's tough.
Charlotto. Oh, I thought it was Charlotto.
I thought it was Sharkto, not Sharkto.
Sharkto.
And, and when he says it, sometimes it sounds like he just says his name is Shart. And it's just like, this is the greatest name ever.
Yeah, Shart Copley. Copley.
Yeah.
Here's another fun little piece of data here. This was, Twisted Metal, the driver for Roadkill, or Roadkill is the name of the character, is Marcus Kane. Marcus's character is possibly a reference to the game since it's heavily inspired by it. And that is also the name of that one sort of Russian-y dude. Oh, by the way, worst fake Russian accent.
Oh yeah,
I've ever heard in my life. Oh, that the accent is too much hassle, Brian. Too much hassle.
Worse than our fake Russian accents.
Yeah,
right.
It's real bad. But I was also sad to see him die so early. I was hoping he
had the great facial hair, like when there's just a path of facial hair across the face.
Yeah, yep.
He had a boy band facial hair thing going on.
Yeah,
he totally did.
Yeah,
and you don't have to even do a Russian accent if you just end every sentence with the word comrade.
Yeah,
like that's all you have to do, and I'm fine.
Apparently, he actually is Russian. Tryon Milanov Troy.
Oh, maybe he is.
He's a real Russian guy.
Oh, and I've given him the wrong
name.
Doing
a crappy Russian accent.
I've given him the wrong name. He's the Xander guy, the one I'm thinking. Marcus Kane's actually the Sean Bean character. I got him mixed up. But yeah, okay. When he's the guy
in this movie. I mean, who cares?
Yeah. Oh yeah, who keeps track? I mean, you got lists is easy to keep track of. 14K Big Bill, but everybody else is a blur.
Yep. Totally.
September Jones. Come on.
September Jones. Good Lord.
Yeah. This was before Big or Mad Men and January Jones.
I'll tell you what, though. If you go look at the credits, want to talk about some funny descriptions. Forget about names for a minute. There's the descriptions in there are like fat guard, fat lady guard.
Oh, I know exactly. When you say fat guard,
yeah.
I know who the guy is you're talking about.
Yeah, they have them. They describe them as like ugly man or, you know, like these. They're just the rudest like descriptions of characters.
Big Bill's navigator girl.
Yeah.
what a crap job being a navigator girl.
Right. Crap job.
Right. Well, now hold on. It's not crap job. What job is it? Explain to me what they're doing. Yeah, they're not there for any. It's like, all right, push the button. Well, you could push the button.
Apparently, their job is to have a 90% chance of just dying alongside whoever happens to get in the car.
Yeah, I didn't like that. That bugged
me. Oh, by the way. Yeah. Biggest problem of the whole movie, and you wouldn't think it'd be a big problem since I'm already suspending, you know, my disbelief, but the fact that they kept showing those promo bits with the racers outside the car, and I'm like, you wouldn't know you were going to get that car.
Yeah.
How could you have filmed a promo before that? And this guy's going to die.
Yeah.
Right. Hillbilly's sitting there leaning on the hood of the car that he ran to and died 18 minutes after getting into.
I smell a conspiracy.
This is my biggest problem with the film overall, though. It's edited in such a way that you never get to take a breath. And I don't mean it's exciting. I mean it's impossible to understand. Like the sequence where the prison warden gets fired. It all happens so fast. They're like, hey, I think there's a network rule that we can fire him. You're fired. You can't fire me. Now I'm out of my ass. Like, it happens that fast.
Yeah.
I love Patrick, the guy who played it. I'm looking at IMDb. I love the guy who plays the warden. I thought it was nice to have a warden that was kind of a good guy.
For once,
Yeah.
It goes against type there, which is nice. That was like the non-trope. The only non-trope in the movie was that the warden was the only good guy within 400 miles of that place.
Right. And then he laughs when September gets wasted at the end.
Yeah, all the drinks are on me. I liked 14K. I do have a problem with his name.
He's in all of them. He's like lists. He's in all of these movies. Yeah. And this is the movie where they emphasized him. He was in the first one. And so now it's like, we're going to go back and tell some backstories. 14K gets one of them. Mm-hmm. I was kind of sad, though, that it's not a interesting or useful backstory.
He would have been great. The fact that he's part of the triads is really cool, but the 14K name has two problems for me. One, it's a really slow modem speed, and that's all I can think about. And two,
or 14 karat gold, I think is what they were doing.
Okay, well, maybe. But also, it's supposed to be he's killed 14 kills, one submission or whatever. Does his name change? Is he like Elite Torn Chieftain?
At
they have to
point,
change.
He was 0K.
Okay. Right. So, he was like 2K at one point. All right.
When he was... I had the same issue, and I was like, you know, that's the reason why he didn't kill that guy. Is not because he was felt bad for him or something. He just didn't want to change his name. He finally made it to 14K, and he wouldn't change it.
Yeah, he didn't want to go to 15K. Also, when he was 4K, could you see his pores really well? Was that what happened then? Yeah, it's a dumb way to this dumb naming convention, but whatever.
And you know, when he gets to 24K, he's pure and he has to evolve to his next form.
That's right.
I like that idea.
He'll be a man made of diamond.
So did you guys notice that when they were announcing everybody, they were going, oh, you know, they have like this many kills and one submission. Every one of them had one submission. So I want to know who the jerk is, you know, that just submitted every time.
Yeah. Submission was the rule. It felt like across the board.
It's like, you know, Keith over in cell block D. I give.
Yep. No, in fact, if you think about it, though, 14K was 16K by the end. Because he killed he killed Jerk Russian that was after him the whole time, and then he killed what's his name in the pool, and then boom, 16. So he's 16K now.
What's his name in the pool? You can't even say Sean Bean's name.
When Boromir was in the pool, drowning to death. When Ned Stark fell in the pool, you remember the scene. The other thing that really bugged me, and again, I'm fine, like Brian says, park your brain at the door. That's what this movie's about. You're not supposed to go in with realism, but there are things like. here's a number. It shows our current market share of what people are watching at any given night.
And it looks like the dial when I'm defragging my computer.
Yeah.
Like how it,
and it also has the real-time capability of, oh, that guy didn't die. Suddenly everyone switched over to rotary runs. Like, what happened?
No, they didn't switch. They pulled it off the wall and slammed it Sean Bean style is what they did. That was so immediate.
Yeah.
I hated that because it also makes us the audience into a bunch of losers, and like I don't know, I totally sympathized with the viewers at home, mm-hmm. and I didn't like that they were, you know, so stupid, like that they would turn the channel instantly the instant a man says I submit. He submitted. Oh, I'm now watching.
Yeah, I'm turning the channel. This is ridiculous. Like, yeah, they really make us out to be super stupid with like no attention span at all.
Right.
especially when. Like when it, I think the way it happened is they cheated so 14K couldn't get the stuff because the ratings were going higher because the Russian guy was going. None of that happened. You don't have that kind of data. Maybe websites do for a stream or something, but this is before they were doing the stream, and even then people don't leave in that those numbers. Like,
but I'm okay. I'm okay with the conceit that in the future they'll have super high tech real time monitoring of what people are watching. I'm just saying, if I'm watching the UFC. And a fight ends in a weird way that I'm not expecting, I am now really glued. You know, I don't just turn off.
No, that's no. In fact, your expectations have been shattered, so you need some closure. Instead, they're suggesting you're jumping
Joe
over
Rogan
to The
to
Bachelor.
Tell me what just happened.
Yeah.
I need some analysis.
Yeah, you're not jumping over to The Bachelor as soon as that happens. It's right. It's super dumb. And it pissed me off, and it drove me crazy. Also, Danny Trejo's boobs drove me crazy. I don't want boobs on Danny Trejo. He doesn't always have to have a shirt off. I'm telling you right now, guys, Trejo is cool. I like him. Put him in your movies, but he doesn't have to be shirtless.
Paid some good money for these tattoos,
did anybody else construct some fanfic in their head as it was going about why that character never wears a shirt?
No. Did you?
I did.
Okay.
You got all the time in the world watching this movie. Like, I was trying to imagine the backstory they were going to show this. They would cram it all into 5 seconds where you'd find out that he had, you know, like you only have one shirt in prison and they assigned him his and then it somehow got burnt off of him or something. I don't know. Like,
I think it's just dirty because he already said he wasn't washing anybody's underwear. So he's not washing his shirt
just
either.
Dirty.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You had that whole rant about underwear. I forgot about that.
Right. I'm not washing anyone's underwear.
There was that. There was a scene where Trejo or not Trejo, where Luke Goss was. They were doing the flamethrower fight between him and Big Bill.
So much fun. Yeah, I was stoked in that.
That was a pretty fun time.
It was like watching Contra. Right? Yeah, what was the game where you had like little flamethrowers, but they only went, you know, 4 spaces ahead?
That feels like Contra. Yeah. It was one of the Contra weapons. Yeah. I think so, but the flames were like balls, like little balls of
right,
red.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, so the way this thing worked, they have a kind of video gamed up the place so that they're in this like junkyardy kind of arena. This is all long before any racing takes place. If you were looking for a lot of death racing, you had to wait like 49 minutes to get it. But you step on these pressure plates, and that would open up a thing where you could get a weapon or you could whatever. I just don't understand how Luke Goss, when his legs were on fire from the flamethrower, how did he know the pressure plate he was randomly going to jump on would put it out?
That bothered me too.
Stuff like that.
I was like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. It'd been funnier if it had sprayed out gas and
like, oh no, I've stepped on the one that gives me that sprays gas.
I just realized I don't want to take this movie too seriously, but it would have been so much better as a Netflix series of like 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess this is a little bit before that time.
No, I'm with you. Yeah. I mean, totally
then
with
they
you.
Could have done the actual race, you know, the series, right?
Yeah.
You know, like do the 5-race series and, this character's out, this character died. Yeah. Oh, I got to know this character.
And build some characters, like actually have some exposition. For sure.
It comes in 3 acts, right? There's the going to prison and fighting is happening there act.
Oh, I think there's the pre stuff, like the bank robbery and all that stuff.
Right,
I mean,
that's
it's a
the
short,
first act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And then the second act is everything is not working out for the people in charge and they have to come up with a new idea and what are they going to do sort of thing. And then the third act is death race.
Yeah.
And every one of those, when you break them down like that, you know, like maybe they're all exactly 35 minutes long or something, they feel so rushed. And I don't want to take this movie too seriously, but it would have been nice for them to be, you know, a bit longer and give you some backstory and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be into that. Yeah. And a good cast, a good Netflix production. I mean,
it was a good cast, though.
Well, it's okay.
This
cast.
Movie was.
It's good enough. It's an okay. It's good enough. You're right. Yeah. And it would have been good enough for like a 10 episode series on Netflix. I mean, for me, you make like a Daredevil style treatment of this, where it's, you know, 10 episodes total. You kind of have a path. You have characters you follow and you get interested in. Totally. Now, the question would be,
it seems like they built that course instantly.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right, hey, I have an idea for a race course. Okay, we'll have it done tomorrow and we can start racing then. Boom.
Yeah.
No then security concerns or anything.
Yeah.
You know, they got several of those Mustangs because he basically destroyed the first one. And then like the next day he's driving another one.
Mm-hmm. Well, the big question is how would you keep, I mean, how much death racing has to happen for the show to succeed? Like, but can
you have one, you have to have a race every episode, I think. Like,
25 minutes, 49 minutes in, just like this movie, because there was neither death nor race until 49 minutes.
You get character development in the first part, and then, you know, it ends with a race, kind of like all the Road Warrior movies.
Yeah. Also, these guys were really into whatever super slow-mo camera they borrowed or bought or rented for this movie. Every time there was a crash, it was like, all right, let's do like Mythbusters and see what this looks like with like super high-speed cameras and slow it all down and watch that car explode or watch Luke Goss stare into the headlights like a deer in the bank when he realizes everything's gone raw.
Or watch Sean Bean fire the gun, super close up of the gun, which is always really cool watching like all the inner workings of a gun going back and forth.
I love that stuff, but I usually it's usually so on the nose in movies. I'm like, okay, you know, you like your new toy.
That was a little bit of a visual nod to Michael Bay, I think. A couple of shots where Trejo was down, they were down low and doing a spin around the helicopter overhead.
Yeah, these movies, they always remind me of that. They're like the, you know, Michael Bay. Okay, I got to go. Here you go. Michael Bay is the Candy Crush of movies.
Right.
And this is Candy Crush China Secret Happy Time Family.
Soda Crush.
Yeah. Some kind of fake off.
Candy Stump.
Yeah, Candy Stump.
I kind of see what you mean. Like, not only is it, the gameplay itself is not quite as good, but like all of the candy doesn't look as good. Like they drew it all again, only they didn't, you know, give it the polish that it needed.
Or you'll see a game called, you know, Horde Alliance will be the name of the game.
Right.
And it'll be images that sort of look like Death Knights and Demon Hunters.
War.
Yeah, the crafting of war, or Stone Hearth. There's an actual game called Stone Hearth.
Yeah.
So it's like that when there's just a weird imitation thing feeling about it, like a little bit of a ripoff of something else. And I think Michael Bay's the model, you know, that kind of movie is certainly the model. The stunts I think are kind of shitty. There's moments that are cool. Like there's some definitely cool car stuff. Some of it's super fake, but some of it's kind of cool. But then there's these moments where it's like, oh, they fell from a great height. But then the next camera cut is clearly them just barely laying down on the ground. And it's just bad.
Oh.
And the sound design, holy shit, the sound design. Oh my gosh, it's so bad, you guys. It's so bad. I heard it on headphones, so maybe it was worse for me. But the overdubbing is, there's got to be some sort of class on this, how this is not how you do it.
As long as we're talking about audio, might as well talk about this, all this knockoff DMX music and everything else they had in this movie that was second tier, except for Black Betty, right?
Oh yeah, Black Betty. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Brian. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The music in this movie was ridiculous.
Yeah,
moments.
Good, ridiculous though, right?
Kind of.
Yeah, I actually liked the music in this movie.
I thought the music was fun, but it always sounded like it was a knockoff of another song.
Yeah,
I mean, it was good. But
I totally
like
agree. They were good knockoffs. Like the movie itself, it's a decent knockoff of a better thing that's not really that great in the first place.
But then I did get jazzed when they started playing Black Betty, and they were, that was, I couldn't help myself.
The music's like Flappy Bird versus Flapping Bird.
Flapping Bird. What's Flapping that Bird. Flapping Bird sound?
Flappy Road.
Flappy Road. Crossy Man, you know, like.
I'm saying a film class could watch this movie and analyze how badly the music was inserted throughout. Like, there were so many times when Okay, so we're going to have a couple of shots of some people walking in slow motion to go do something. And the music is like from The Right Stuff. Mm. It's like a knockoff of The Right Stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, this is so grand and amazing. Like, no, it's not. It's Death Race 2.
Yeah.
What is this music doing here?
Yeah. It did feel like it was a little... weirdly out of the music, like the orchestration stuff, like not the music, but the, you know, like songs, but that stuff seemed all, you know, like professionally well done.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
this whole movie, this whole movie was all right. It just didn't have the budget, I think.
Yeah. Took a weird turn at the end with the whole Frankenstein thing in terms of
I loved the last like 15 minutes.
See, it's a different movie though, don't you? Wouldn't you argue that? It's a different movie. Basically, we think he gets killed. He gets blown up in this car, but instead they bring him back, put a mask on him, and now he's Frankenstein from 2000.
In some sort of weird dry ice chamber.
It's the fastest sequence of events I've ever seen in a film.
Yeah.
It's basically, oh my God, we're an hour and 20 minutes into this thing. We have to figure out how to rope this thing back to the first movie. Quick, come up with something.
Yeah. And it sets itself up for a sequel, and the girl and him are still together, and he makes his little line about, do you have a name? He says, I sure do.
Carl.
My name's Carl. But so let's talk about best death. I always liked when these movies, when it's all about picking people off, it's like a horror movie. I like that. So let's talk about my favorite was Apache. Does anyone else? He got impaled by a bunch of spikes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's the one who's like trying to get his car back flat.
Yep.
Yeah, he was always crawling out on the hood of his car.
Yep.
Bad mistake.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like
that probably should have done some damage to Big Bill's car. Like, how did he know how deep those spikes were going to go? And
Big Bill don't care. Where's my toothbrush?
It's my Dodge Ram.
Where's my $1 billion? So
I mean, he blew up his own pit crew. I mean, he don't care.
Yeah. No, Big Bill's a piece of shit. But anyway.
Yeah.
My favorite death was definitely Hillbilly. I couldn't wait for him to get killed. So
it's your favorite character, right, Ibbit? You loved him, didn't you?
I did actually like
you. You did. Yeah, How about you? Ibbit loves the hillbillies. You're a big fan of the hillbilly
love
humor.
Love the hillbilly humor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, that's an actor named Sean Higgs.
Mm.
He has the best example of 2 dozen credits I've never heard of, or much less seen any of these.
In any of his roles, does he play a character named Cooter?
I'm looking. He actually goes back to 1990, which is kind of impressive, because usually these actors, they get 2 or 3 credits and crap and they never act again.
Mm-hmm.
He goes back to 1990, but no, his characters are named things like Bartender and TJ.
Mm-hmm. TJ, that'll work. His real name is probably Cooter. No, what's his real name again?
Sean Higgs.
Sean
Cooter Higgs.
Yeah, Sean Cooter Higgs.
I have to go with 14K. Mm. Like 14K is the best thing in the film. Mm.
He's in the best death because he didn't die.
Yeah, he didn't die.
Right. Well, he couldn't die because he has to be in the Jason Statham one.
Right.
The same with Lists. Like, I knew Lists wasn't going to die because it's not only the same character but the same actor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, that actor goes way back. His name is Frederick Kohler, who played Lists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really good casting. Right. He makes a fine like nerd with a little bit of a, you know,
stutter,
trembles and all that stuff. Yeah, stuttering and all that. He goes all the way back to, he was one of the kids in Mr. Mom.
Oh my.
Huh.
Oh wow.
One of the kids? Weird.
Yeah, he was like eight years old in Mr. Mom.
He was on Lost for a while too, as one of the final group of
That's right.
Castaways that they end up with.
You're right. That's totally right.
And he's so ugged by the later seasons.
Yes. Just bringing up Lost just gives me
he's wrong.
I still hold
great.
Fond. Lots of love for Lost.
Lost
I have no
is
problem
great.
With the way that
I
show
have
ended.
So much love for the first season of Lost. Yeah.
I have love for
the third season.
I like all of it, and I respect it all well beyond the entertainment I got out of it for being a show that established like a new way of telling a story. I think Lost is awesome. I don't love the last episode or the final way it ended, but I think there are plenty of things nice to say about Lost.
By the way, where do you get a cardigan if you're a prisoner in what was the name of the prison they were in? Trinity.
Terminal. Because I can't remember at the airport.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The prison at the airport.
Where do you get a cardigan with terminal printed on the back of it?
I'll tell you where you get that cardigan. That was originally Danny Trejo's uniform.
I see.
Right.
See? That's exactly.
He wants my cardigan.
Yeah.
I'm a Jewish Mexican or whatever the joke was.
Oh my God. They didn't have to explain the name joke.
No.
Right?
No, he can just be Goldberg. It's no big
deal. They didn't have to. But I appreciate that they did.
I don't like that they did. They didn't need to.
My second favorite death was Dick Urvasti's career when he was doing these promos.
Oh, is he the guy who does tonight?
And he does the all the little NFL promos too. I sit in Skype. By the way, that guy is fantastic. I love
his voice. That,
really elevated this movie for me.
Yeah.
Can we get to what Scott found?
Disgusting.
Because I think I have it.
All right, give it to me.
All right, I was almost gonna use this in my opening, but I decided it was gonna be. I'd save it for this. But, hot woman sitting on the countertop where you're slicing meat and cheese and bread.
Nope, didn't bother me.
Not seemingly wearing any underwear. By the way, worse on the countertop, underwear or no underwear?
This one didn't bother me.
That's funny.
I'm gonna assume. You're in rich guy house. You've got lots of money and your hygiene is good. I think she's probably okay.
All right. Sean Bean was eating a lot during this movie.
Yeah, he was always eating. He's a real foodie, it turns out. Yeah, big foodie in this movie.
The foodie, yes. Yeah.
So, nope, that's
not
it.
That didn't gross you out.
Any other guesses?
Well, I think it was Sean Bean's eating of the eggs and the juice.
No, although that ranks up there, but no, that's not it.
Pretty bad.
I don't like eating on screen. It grosses me out when they do
that.
But that's not it. Grossest thing for me, because there is very specific, and those who are seeing the video archive version of this, they already know because it's the static image I'm using for the video.
Fat guy in the shower?
Nope. No, but that don't love that, but no.
I never liked fat guy in the shower.
It's probably his credit.
What bothered me the most, and maybe it was Scott's, but probably not.
Sure.
So once Frankenstein exists, right? He's now a burn victim.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, the flesh hanging off of his face.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They just bring in a dirty piece of metal.
Yeah.
To strap to his
smack it
his,
on there.
Well, yeah, strap how to is his it
burnt face. Like,
how does
like,
it stay on?
Yeah,
do I even want to ask that question? Ice.
Yeah.
Like I was so gross. I was like, don't touch like that with your burnt pole.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Just they kind of froze it like they do on just stick that fleshy.
That
flesh
is what they were doing because it was cold, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that at all, but that's still not the grossest thing.
Oh, well, I was hoping I might talk you into that being the thing.
I'll give you guys a hint because I have a sound for it and this image on the video. And here's the sound.
Is it Ving Rhames when he does anything?
Well, let me just say you're warmer. So here it is. I'll play the sound and then you guys decide. Okay. Do you know what that was?
No.
Interesting. No. Is it the kissing?
Yes.
Yeah, the Ving Rhames kissing.
I couldn't stand the single Ving Rhames kiss to Lauren, what's her name?
Lauren Cohen's closed mouth kiss.
Yeah, it looked like she was like, all right, shit, fifth take. I've had it with this. I'm going to quit in a minute.
It was fine if you hadn't went in for the big wet. I mean, he really did.
He really did.
He wet that thing up.
And it was loud, and made that like.
But she kind of deserved it. I mean, ladies who be touching my escalator button, they get what they get.
I guess they do get what they get. Anyway.
Big wet kiss.
That kiss grossed me out. For I don't even know why, just wet, sloppy. He's grinning. Sloppy, she looks mortified. He's sweaty. He's all sweaty when he does. Just a bad vision.
The other kissing scene is Luke Goss and what's her name in the rain.
In the shower. That was pretty.
In the shower. Oh. In the rain shower.
Yeah, that's
pretty gross.
There's apparently a rain shower. They start making out, and it's so bad that. Like foreplay scene is so bad that in the middle of it, the movie just cuts to some guy getting tortured and you're like, okay, this is better.
Yeah.
For a movie that's supposed to be sexy, there was not a lot of sexy.
No.
Not in my opinion.
No. Right? It's all grimy and prisony, man. You can't have sexy there. That doesn't exist there. Lauren Cohen, lovely as ever, beautiful girl. Sure. You can look at her and go, oh, she's very attractive. Or or whatever. You look at Luke Goss and see him with his shirt off and go, oh, that dude works out. Well done, boy band guy.
But he's ugly. But we got to be clear.
What?
He is ugly.
I don't know if he's ugly. I think he's got, I mean, he's not Jason Statham bald guy handsome. I'll give you that. But he's, I wouldn't say he's ugly.
He's pretty dang close to Jason Statham bald man handsome, though. I'd say that, you know, we talked about this a little bit before. He's like a poor man's, he's like a not as buff,
a Jay Statham,
but still pretty damn buff.
Yeah, he's Flapping Bird instead of Flappy Bird.
Flapping Bird.
Yeah, he's the ripoff. He's Crossy. Oh. He's Crossy Clown instead of Crossy Road.
Plants versus Monsters.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
This isn't our first
Clash of Plants.
This isn't our first Luke Goss film. He was in Blade 2, and what? He was so ugly in Blade 2.
Yeah, he was in Blade 2.
Is he one of the? So he was in the. He was one of the vampires in the.
Yeah.
At home station, wherever it is.
Yeah.
And then I don't think we watched Hellboy 2 for this podcast, but I've seen it kind of recently, and he was the guy with the long, straight blonde hair and super ugly in that. And it's hard to let go of his roles where he is the ugliest thing in the movie. And you see this, and the problem is he's in a film with some really pretty people.
Like Danny Trejo.
In this movie?
Right.
No, that's the one thing, the one person uglier than Luke Goss is Danny Trejo, and they are almost never seen in the same shot.
He's got a funny-shaped head with the no hair on. You know, some people just have, like, I'm the this. When I shave my head, people are going to go, oh, my Lord.
Oh,
because there's some weird back end.
I can't wait.
It's some weird back end stuff going on. But if you look at Luke Goss, he's the one that's cool from that movie, from Blade 2. He's ugly, but he's made up to be ugly. But he's the one that's like the trying to get justice from being a vampire and shouldn't be. It was experimented on, and you know, like I don't know if you guys remember, but he was like he was kind of weirdly heroic by the end,
right?
And I don't know. I think he looks kind of like a badass. He also has the big weird fish face open up with the inside of your head.
He's got the big Akbar fish face. What are you gonna do?
So anyway,
Ryan Krueger, the fat guard, is actually he's lost some weight, looking good.
Oh yeah, well done, fat guard. Yeah,
right.
I bet he can.
It's probably due to that credit. What? That was the fat guard? What?
Sorry, before I close this tab, I have to hear this one more time.
Salut à tous, je suis là pour vous parler du MLM.
All right, just one more. That's kind of the best. I realized I still had that open. I had to play it. What else? I think the makeup was okay. I was pretty impressed with some of the practical effects. I don't know what else to say about this movie. You guys have anything else?
So many tropes that we haven't been calling them out.
Well, it's because the whole damn movie's a trope. It's a big fat trope.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'll play this once.
Big fat guard trope.
The movie. There you go.
The trope that stuck out to me the most was the ruthlessness of the person who's running the show kind of thing. This is not necessary in this movie by any stretch. She could have actually been a, you know, kind of slightly interesting character instead of just ruthless.
Mm-hmm. Focused only on her career and,
Yeah.
And, she rose quickly when she went from reporter to I'm running this entire death race idea.
Right.
Did you notice that? Because she was there just reporting that day. And she's like, oh, you're getting this? You're catching this? Oh, there's all kinds of craziness happening down here at the prison. Oh, I have an idea. Let's have them kill each other for fun and money. Yeah.
She's sleeping with everybody.
Blech.
On TV tropes, this trope is called The Dreaded. So it describes a character who everybody else dreads, and that's it. That's all the character is about. Yeah. Is for everyone else to be waiting around for her to come in the room and then hate the fact that she exists.
Yeah, somewhere in the world, she has a mother at home going, oh, I just wish you'd call more. Like, there's...
Exactly.
There's,
and then somewhere else in the world...
hang out in that horrible prison?
Somewhere else in the world, Charlie Sheen is trying to play good baseball so he can take another piece of her clothing off on her standee.
That's right.
Major league.
You're not wrong about that.
So, in TV tropes, she's compared to a bunch of really weird things from movies, like Mongo from Blazing Saddles is the dreaded, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The Velociraptors.
Is Mongo the one that punches out the horse? Is that?
Yes.
Remember that, right? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's all he does. Wow. Like, that's all his, everybody worries about, oh no, here he comes. That's
the dread.
That's this trope. And I really like it. It just like, once I kind of keyed on that, I was enjoying how she doesn't have any story. She doesn't do anything other than make everybody right. miserable.
Yeah. That and stand on the second story prison catwalks with short skirts. So I'm like, really?
Right. Yeah.
Come
on. Yeah. Yeah. And the glow cut top, and you bend toward the camera, so the cleavage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The cleavage. The cleavage.
So were you guys confused at the beginning during the bank heist when y'all were going, oh, look, here comes a car. I wonder if there's cops in that. Oh, wait, they just went, whirp, whirp, we are cops, whirp. And they did the little siren as they pulled up because I thought they were pulling the guy over. I'm like, are they just going to pull him over? Nope. Mm. They just wanted to, you know, do the whoop, whoop, yeah. things. Yeah. Right. Here we are. Whoop, whoop, we're cops.
Whoop. Which is unfortunate. But I thought that too. There was a lot of that in this movie. This movie's full of MacGuffin-y bullshit.
Anyone else watch that whole chase scene where he's driving the Mustang like a pro, even though he has never driven it before?
Mm-hmm. It's the trope of good at everything immediately. Like, oh, he's the best fighter in there all of a sudden. Yeah. Oh, wow, he's the best driver all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. He's like a getaway driver, right?
Did anyone else watch that scene and go, where is this being filmed?
Yes, I did because I went, did they film this like 5 seconds after speed? Because they still haven't finished that overpass.
Nope, it was not filmed.
At least there was another gap, like another place to land on the overpass as opposed to just like, we're done with this highway. Let's just stop right here.
This was not filmed in L.A. It was not even filmed in the Western Hemisphere. I was really shocked.
Right.
I didn't know that.
True. Yeah.
Where was it filmed?
That scene was filmed in Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh, that explains all the South African actors. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's her name? And
that explains it like you were sitting around asking why there's so
well,
many
no, I you hear the you hear the accents a lot, especially the girlfriend from the prison. She would phase in and out of that accent like crazy. And you'd just go, wait, what am I picking up on? And the dude, the warden, I think is South African. That actor. Right.
I kept getting him confused during this movie with the king from North of the Wall on Game of Thrones. I don't know if it's because Sean Bean was in it.
Mance.
Shoot. That's it.
Yeah,
I kept thinking it was him.
I can't think of his last name, but Mance. The redheaded dude, Mance Raider.
It's his helper guy, because Mance Raider is the guy that used to play Caesar on Rome.
Right.
Different actor.
But that's who you're thinking was the warden, right? Was the guy who played Mance Raider, not the redheaded dude.
Not the redheaded dude, the king north of the
world. Yeah. Because he has a very, they look very similar, those two guys.
Totally does, yeah.
Doppelgangers, those two. He's like the, who's the girl in Iron Man and then the one from Lost?
Maggie Grace and Leslie Bibb.
Leslie Bibb. They're the Maggie Grace and Leslie Bibb.
Yes, they are. They could double date and they'd get confused when... when half of them go to the bathroom and come back. Wait a minute.
So good.
Who was I with? Yeah.
All right. Well, let's play some clips from the fine film known as Death Race 2. I don't have a ton, but I have enough. And here's one with Ned Stark first speaking.
What a shit match. I would never have bet if a new Spiro was injured.
What a shit match. Oi! Just love how he talks. Love his accent. Here's some lady talk early on.
Mr. Wayland, I know that the network isn't your prime moneymaker. But I can't believe that you don't realize what a gold mine you're sitting on.
Humor me, Ms. Jones.
People are tired of fake violence and fights staged by Vegas promoters. The hatred that your inmates have is pure. Can't be duplicated.
How come she doesn't ever show any sign that she's English? She's really good at that accent.
She is really good, yeah.
Like on... I mean, she sounds like a Southern girl.
She's the Southern thing on Walking Dead, right?
It's crazy. Yeah. So good.
Can I say I just love Vin Rames? I can see my war stuff.
I like him.
Yes, you can say it. Yes.
You can say it. Just picture him with a ball in his mouth, a ball gag. Imagine that.
Bring out the gimp.
Bring out the gimp. Oh, my gosh.
He doesn't say that, but yeah.
No, but you want him to.
Said in that scene.
But they put gimp. They put Frankenstein in a gimp suit in this, too. So.
They sort of did, yeah. Mm-hmm. But this movie had a gimp, for sure. Mm-hmm. How's that going to work in the shower, buddy? Here's your, this is your game show part.
Live from Terminal Island, television's most violent, most disturbing, and most watched program in human history. Welcome to Deathmatch.
Oh, that's a creative name for your one-on-one fighting game, Deathmatch.
Right.
Call it after a mode.
Celebrity
Deathmatch. Yeah. Yep. Next week we'll do Capture the Flag. And after that, Last Man Standing.
I gotta hire that voice for my own funeral. I want when I die, I want people to come to a funeral and a video starts playing and it's him.
Yeah. If Terry Crews, we all assume, wasn't doing Doomfist, you should have had this guy do Doomfist in Overwatch. That's all I'm saying.
And I just want to say one thing about that.
Yeah.
Why keep tweeting it?
He's the one doing it. He's the one that keeps saying, "Hey, you want to hear what I sound like when I'm doing Doomfist?" We're like, "Wait, is that confirmation?"
Like, why not be really, really happy that someone you like is doing something that you might enjoy and stop there?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Why do we get our hopes up to the top of all hopes?
It's because it's Overwatch and it's Doomfist and it's Terry Crews. It's too much hype. You just can't handle it.
I would just like to say, and I want to make sure you understand, I know nothing about nothing on this subject. Right. I have no special information.
Nothing.
Right. The only information I have is Terry Crews on Twitter saying, "Hey, you guys want to hear me do Doomfist?"
Right. Like, you and I are at the same level of information. I have no special secrets in store here.
Right.
I'm just saying, I am tired of getting hyped up to the top, and then what actually gets delivered would have been great if I hadn't been thinking about it.
Yep. Hard to avoid it.
I'm tired of that.
Welcome to the internet. It's hard to get away from. Here's Danny Trejo speaking.
Carl Lucas.
Chill. Chill, man.
Relax. You've been assigned to our work detail. That's Rocco. I'm Goldberg.
Goldberg, huh?
Yeah.
What do you like, the last Mexican Jew or what?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I killed all the rest.
That was some terrible conversation.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. Who's driving this car? I don't know what this is.
Who's driving that car?
What car?
Oh, that was a funny joke there.
I love that scene because I love the fact that the prison guards will shoot you for anything unless you're ride around in a car.
Right. Yeah. There was a guard in that warehouse where he drove off with the car and was like, oh, so they're allowed to just go drive the cars?
They're
wondering that when we're watching this thing. Yeah,
some big continuity problems for sure.
Yeah.
This is Maggie and her saying something.
Carl Lucas, even the name gives me a hard on.
Okay, great. Don't tell us that. Didn't need to know.
How does that work?
They tried, yeah. They tried giving her kind of like a dude kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. Like she mentions, talks about wet dreams and hard-ons and all this other stuff.
Yeah. But I kind of feel like they gave her a penis here. Like they just flat out.
Exactly, yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing metaphorical,
but sure. Have your wiener when you want it, I guess. Yeah. This was awkward.
Would you like a towel?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'll say.
Oh, jeez.
Right. Hey, man, if you know that feeling you get when you're taking a shower in a prison and all of a sudden everybody runs away, it's just you in the shower?
Yeah, it's a good feeling. That's a great feeling. Yeah. You know something good's happening.
I got fired from writing romance novel flirting. I know. I'll work on a screenplay.
Okay, so here's a Trump alert.
Okay, oh, wait. Hold on, I'm still trying to process the idea that there is a job called romance flirting writer. All right, hold on. Here you go. All right, give it to us.
Why do people get so much time by themselves or with only one other person in prison? Mm-hmm. What kind of? Mm-hmm. Where are these spaces?
Yeah. How can you walk your girlfriend to the bus that goes to the lady prison?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a good point.
Lady prison.
I kept every time two people were by themselves talking and inside this jail. I wanted the camera to pull back a foot, and there's a warden like just standing right there, also paying attention to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just bugged me the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this movie was full of those things. Here's some advice for you.
Deathmatch is a trademark of Wayland International. Fighters are convicted violent felons. Acts should not be duplicated at home.
Oh, yeah, because I've got a big bus full of flamethrowers at home. I was thinking about trying this.
Hey, let's go outside and play with the flamethrowers.
Yeah, what do you think? Don't forget to stand on the pressure pad. Here's
brought to you by Menon.
Right. I couldn't figure out if it annoyed me or not that the racetrack had little manhole covers they had to run over to activate parts of their car. I couldn't figure out if it was a cool idea or annoying.
Exactly. And that's what triggers the ability for you to have your weapons. But the shield thing, I didn't understand what. Yeah.
The shield thing gives you defensive moves.
I wanted there to be like a little
bubble
around you when you went over.
Yeah. No, that's my first thought too. But it gives you defensive abilities like smoke screen, like whatever, like dropping tags.
Okay, I would consider those weapons as well. That makes sense.
Yeah, and so by the way, so this is this is all up in the 2008 thing. They just don't really have an origin story for it. So in the 08 movie, they have those same pads and same idea that they activate certain abilities in your car. But I'm with you that I couldn't decide if I liked it or not.
But in the Jason Statham film, the big, big deal on every car was that they were all carrying around this killer piece on the back that you would drop and it would kill the car behind you. And it was called a tombstone.
Oh, okay. And, yeah. So when he drops it and Trejo goes, he dropped the tombstone. I was like, okay. It just looks like his bumper fell off.
Yeah.
Right. They were eradicating that. It was too much of a big deal in the Jason Statham film.
Yeah.
So this film was real coy with, there was one tombstone on his car and he got rid of it and that's that. And we're never going to mention it again.
Yeah.
Which was clever, but I also felt cheated.
It's like in Heroes of the Storm, you got your Q, your W, and your E are on cooldown, and when you hit level 10, you have your ultimate. That's kind of what they established in 08 was, oh, there's an ultimate, which could really wreck you. But this movie was like, nah, we don't want to do that anymore. It's not gonna
Which is weird, because this movie happens before the other one.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's because everything about the whole prequel, sequel thing on this movie is dumb as shit. All right, here's, I don't know what this is.
All right, ladies, line it up.
The bus is leaving. Don't make me tell you twice.
Yeah, well, she was a lady. She's really credited as Fat Guard, so.
She was told she was in an actual prison movie.
What, where there were rules about, don't just waddle around in this car showroom.
You can't be alone in a room with a.
Yeah, so dumb.
Right.
Here's the definition of a box for you.
Joy, the box, with its implications of rigidity and squareness, symbolizes unimaginative thinking.
Rigidity.
Rigidity.
Where's my closed caption?
How do you know if you've had an erection too long? You check for the rigidity.
Is that the one where he begins, I'll speak slowly.
Slowly.
Yes. And clearly.
Yeah. I love it. I like when he goes all Welsh or whatever that is on us. I think it's great. The sound of Ving Rhames kissing Maggie again. All right, there's that. All right, how about Ving talks about game shows. Here he is being all brilliant businessman.
In a game show, no one cares about the game. The game is arbitrary. People care about the risk and the money.
And the money.
Money.
Risks money. And the money. The Russian doing, I think, a bad accent.
Oh, this just keeps getting better and better.
Yes, that's bullshit. If he's really Russian, that's...
Maybe he's really Russian, which is the best part, yeah.
That's like that's like Patrick going, oh, or something.
It totally is.
Right? All right.
Or going, umbri bundle.
Here's Brian Ibbett's favorite character for sure. Here you go.
Hillbilly.
Hillbilly.
They should have called it
on ABC.
It should have been called Killbilly just because of the way it was.
No, that would have been clever. Yeah.
Also, you need to, anytime you introduce Brian Dunaway for a podcast, you just need to play that.
Hillbilly. Yeah. Brian Ibbett. Okay. What's this? I don't know.
You ain't escaping me now.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't escaping me now. You ain't escaping me now.
That's pretty good.
That's what I said to my prom date at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. By the way, this is, I don't know what the sound is, but it's Ving Rhames, and I'm probably going to use it all the time for lots of things. So here you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. It's pretty good. how was those good waffles?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did you enjoy kissing?
It's a little bit of a sing-song.
It does. It's like he's going to go into like a little song at the end and go, as I'm fiddling with the greens and the hoo-ha. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. I went, you can totally do it. I went down to the bar and I picked up a chicken and then I ate that chicken and then I had sex with the chicken's corpse.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, there you go.
Now I'm a man.
I feel like you were just doing a Moby song the way this movie was just doing a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's
kind of was a Moby song.
Those Moby songs are always like that. They throw in some old Southern soul music into some weird techno thing. All right, here's this is them ripping off the Portal lady to round things out. Okay, so I heard this in the movie, and it sounds like GLaDOS from Portal. Here you go.
heat-seeking missile has been activated.
The heat-seeking missile has been activated.
The only time there is a digital voice inside the cars.
Yep,
for some reason, that's the only thing they put one on.
Yep.
Is that the heat-seeking missiles.
I'm going to give it only the slightest bit of credit. There was something about the view of that missile following him into the warehouse that looked really cool.
It was. It was slower than a heat-seeking missile would travel, but something about it.
Yeah,
was entertaining.
It was like a giant. It was like a giant bee just behind you or something.
It was.
Yeah. Something about that worked for me. All right, I think we are done with those. So now it's time. It's time for. Oh, I know. This. It's the film check. Film sack checklist.
Film check.
Checksist. It is, it goes like this. Treo is a nice guy again. Check. That seems to be happening a lot. I want him to be mean, more mean than he is nice. Ving Rhames paying the bills. Check. I feel like he was just there to cash one. And they really are Gladiator wannabe movies. Check. There are no Star Trek connections in this film. According to Daryl, I swear he's probably wrong, but he says there are none.
You know what else this movie wants to be?
What?
It wants to be an Asylum ripoff movie, and there is one. It's called Death Racers. And it has some really awesome character names. I suggest you go look up Death Racers sometimes. There is an actor named Shaggy Two Dope who plays a character named Shaggy Two Dope.
Yes.
Well, Shaggy Two Dope is a member of the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Oh, no way.
Yeah, so he's playing himself.
So why don't we watch more of these Asylum ripoffs? I feel like we're doing our fans a disservice.
I feel like they do the job themselves that we would do, right? Mm. What we do to bad movies, they do to themselves.
Okay.
And also, they're never on Netflix for whatever reason.
Wow.
Netflix just don't go there.
They don't strike a deal.
Yeah, they're both members of ICP. So Violent J and Shaggy Two Dope are both in this.
Okay.
I'm sad that you know that.
It's a music thing.
It's a music thing. You know, yeah.
It's not. That's the problem. It's not a music
magnets.
Thing.
How do they work?
If they made music, I would be okay.
Tide goes in, tide goes out. You can't explain that. All right. Let's get to the soundtrack grade. I'm going to give it an HIM. Short for him, or actually short for has its moments. I think there's some stuff in there to like. Some of the fight music's cool, and I don't know. It's all right. Twitter post. Let's sum it up in 140 characters or less. That's for you guys to do, and we start with Randy.
Death Race 2. Where's Statham? Where's Tyrese? Ian McShane? Where's Joan Allen? Oh, there she is on a piece of paper. Okay, we're good. Great movie.
It was really discordant to see her photo there. It felt like it was slumming it hardcore. It's just a photo, but it's still
like all of a sudden it's a Bourne movie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's Jason Bourne. Brian Dunaway.
Death Race 2, like a Sean Bean meme where one does not simply cast Marcus Caine, one must write a complex narrative for another Bean death.
Bean death.
Nothing, Frankenstein.
That's right. I'd watch an entire movie about 14K as a just as a triad assassin. Like I like that kind of stuff. I would have been into that. Wrong movie though. Brian Ibbett finally.
Sure. Death Race 2. It's like Cannonball Run meets Road Warrior. No, wait. It's like Future Sport meets The Fast and the Furious. No, hold on. It's like Death Race 2000 meets Death Race 1.
There you go. Nailed it. Literally meeting in the middle.
By the way, we never even talked about the fact that you see a little bit of Death Race 2000 in...
Oh, yes.
Sean Bean on the TV. Watching He's watching Death Race 2000 on the TV. The best scene where the people are bouncing up in the air when they're getting hit by the car.
Oh, my gosh.
The elderly home where they're running through the walkers,
So if you guys had to pick one of the Death Races you've seen, most of us have only seen two. Well, I guess half of us have seen two. We've seen three, Randy. Do any of us have a favorite now? Do we just go to the old one and say, that's the cheesiest, so that's the one I like? I don't know. I feel like the 08 is the one for me. I like
the 08. I think this is my favorite of the two I've seen.
Right.
Oh, really? Then you really like
08. It's the more watchable of the two that I've seen.
Yeah.
And I can't choose Fast 5?
No.
Is that not one of the options?
Nope. Nope. Can't choose Fast 5. Here's what you need to do then. You guys should watch
Thunderdome.
You guys should watch 2008 Death Race, because I think if you thought this was better than the 2001, I think you'll really like 08 compared to this.
Well, here's the deal. Once 08 is streaming and I'd have the opportunity to watch it, we'd better just watch it for film
sake. Yeah, let's just do it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. it's a fun thing to do to visit. I mean, then we'd have the entire, well, not the whole canon of Death Race, and I don't think we ever want to get any more of these direct-to-video ones, but we'd at least see the path, right? We'd see where this all came from. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that'd be worth it. We'll see when we get there. Hey, how about one of these? Oh, it's alternate titles. The first one they rejected was The Walking Bed, because she was always trying to get people to sleep with her for favors.
Kind of a slut.
Kind of, yeah. Or Editing Is Hard. I thought the editing in this movie was terrible in the action scenes. There was, some was okay and passable, but a lot of it when she was like getting in and out of the car and stuff, it was really bad. Chip chop. Lame.
Chip, chip, chop. Chip, 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 chop.
We got an email from Craig. We get emails here on the show. If you'd like to send us one, you can at filmsack@gmail.com. Craig wrote in, says, just listen to your Filmsack episode on The Rock. So many stories I need to tell you about it. And by the way, this is only one of about 12 things that Greg has sent me.
Really?
I pulled out his first one because I think it's one of the best. It kind of clears up some stuff, too. No cabin for Connery. Okay, so the Connery story that he had, he demanded a cabin was false. He
Urban says, legend.
Because he worked there. He says, yes, yes, he was playing a bitter James Bond. That was they talked about this on set. Ed Harris was a very nice and normal guy. Nick Cage was a total dick.
Of course. This is exactly as I suspected.
He says, Bay and Connery did not get along. They had to break up a verbal fight they had in front of visitors on the island. He says the tour guide was based on actual Island Park service staff, and Connery drinks martinis shaken, not stirred, for real. He went to a rap party, and that's literally what he drank. He says, if you want any more stories, I got a ton, and he sent me a ton more. I may disseminate more of those on the show later, but I love when people have firsthand with this stuff. So like him and Dodd Vickers and people like that, when you run into this shit, do share. Because that's awesome, and I'm happy to hear that Nick Cage was a huge dick during the height of his career. Because that fits with my vision of what was going on.
Yeah, he's basically literally Zeus's butthole.
Yeah, Zeus's butthole.
Yeah. Well, he's not literally, but he was acting like Zeus's butthole.
That's a good point.
He come down from the sky.
I'm not gonna mistakenly use Zeus's butthole.
No, you know, you want to be careful how you use.
I'm
Zeus's
not gonna
butthole.
Mistakenly use literally the wrong word.
Everybody uses Zeus's butthole wrong.
I'm not going to literally use this as butthole.
Figuratively, maybe. Brian or Randy, what's queued up next on the old baseball pit for the next movie we're going to do? I can't think of a scenario.
We're going to watch Richard Pryor movie.
Whoa. First one, right? This will be first. This will be our first.
Stir is crazy. It? What we got?
Is it the first one?
We tried to get the Eddie Murphy blind one where they're mobsters, but they got pulled by Netflix, kind of like
We've tried to watch Harlem Nights many times. This week, next week, we're watching Critical Condition. Wow. It's one of the last Richard Pryor movies.
That's one of them. I remember that movie, the cover box, really well. I used to work at Blockbuster, and I always remember walking by and seeing Richard Pryor with his silly smile on his face and had a stethoscope and doctor's jacket on.
Was it before?
And a chicken. I believe he had a chicken in his hand, too. Do you have one of those rubber chickens?
Maybe. Was it before?
No, he's holding a saw and a wrench.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, that's what it is.
Was it before or after Brewster's Millions? Which came first?
Oh, it's got to be after.
Then. Well, 87 was Critical Condition. Oh, Brewster's Millions, 85. Yeah, so after.
Oh, wow. I always think of Brewster's Millions as newer, but anyway, yeah.
So the weird thing about Critical Condition that y'all want to think about as you go into it is it was directed by Michael Apted, of all people. Mm-hmm. It's a screwball comedy, sure, but this is the person who directed Gorillas in the Mist and The Chronicles of Narnia.
Weird.
Yeah, it's so weird that this screwball comedy is an Apted film.
I've never seen it. I'm very excited to see this.
I just found out there is a Laserdisc version of Richard Pryor's Critical Condition. I wonder if I can get it before the show.
Fire up your old Pioneer or whatever you got there.
Get ready to flip it over halfway through.
Oh my gosh, I forgot you had to do that with those.
Yeah. Ugh. Lines of Pioneer. Yeah. Oh, the Star Wars movies came on 3 discs. You had to flip that thing like 5 times during the film to see the whole thing.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow. It's streaming on Netflix, Critical Condition, and look for a bunch of people who would become much more famous later. Like Bob Saget is in this movie. Oh. Wesley Snipes is in this movie in 1987.
Wow.
Paying his taxes
like a good citizen then. All right. I'm in. And plus I feel like we just have been long overdue for a prior movie. I don't know why I feel like we haven't seen one.
I don't think we've seen one. I've always wanted to watch. Is it See No Evil, Hear No Evil?
See No Evil would have been a great one. Yeah,
that was a great one, yeah.
Maybe we just toy. We've talked about it so much we just have never. Just never.
Superman 3 would be a great one if it ever streams.
Oh yeah,
that one's like made for.
It is streaming.
It's on our list too.
Superman 3.
Yeah, and it's on our list.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Here we go.
Yeah. So all the Superman movies are streaming now, including the Brandon Routh one and so on. So we're gonna get back into our order. We have seen Superman 1 and 2, I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. No, just and, two. We don't think we saw one.
Just two. Well, okay. Everybody's seen Superman 1.
Yeah.
You see You see Superman 1 actually during the opening credits of Superman 2.
That's exactly. A good point. You totally do. Two's where it's at anyway. Two's where the bomb is.
We'll watch Superman 3 in a few weeks, and then someday in the dead future. In the hulking remains of this planet, we'll watch Superman 4 together.
Oh my lord. Oh my gosh, the fight on the moon with
Radiation Man.
Yeah, or whatever his name was. Was that his name? Radiation
Man. I don't remember what
it was like that though. It was like he gets his power from the sun deal. But so does Superman though, right? Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all bullshit. Everything got bad after 2. All right. There you go. It's coming up next. Nuclear That's next man. Week. We the what's it called again? The prior movie?
Critical Condition.
All right. I couldn't remember it. So that's all coming up. If you would like to get the show and do more things on the blog and comment on these posts and whatnot, you can go to filmsack.com. You can leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. I have a few of those in the hopper. Just need to go through them. And filmsack@gmail.com is that email address. Once again, you can also find us on Twitter @filmsack. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us in big ways. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with Critical Condition. Until then, for me, for Brian, and for Randy, we'll see you next time.
Dumbbell punch.
Can't find the thing.
Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.
Mm-hmm.